Another U.S. soldier has been killed in Iraq. A military spokesman says a bomb was detonated under the soldier's Humvee. Since the U.S. invasion 4 months ago, 148 U.S. military personnel have been killed in combat in Iraq. That surpasses the number of combat-related deaths during the 1991 Gulf War. There are at least a dozen attacks on Americans every day. NPR's Guy Raz reports from Baghdad.
Like any other day, Specialist James Connors, a stoic 20-year-old soldier, stood in the gunner's hatch of an army truck as it drove along a highway near the town of Balad, just north of Baghdad.
And out of nowhere, this bright flash hit the side of the truck, and I didn't know what it was, but I called down, make sure everyone's all right. I saw tracers flying, just got up on the Mark 19 and just laid into it. Just returned fire.
Connors was lucky. Part of his face was singed and he lost hearing in his left ear. The rocket-propelled grenade didn't land a direct hit. The incident wasn't officially reported by the military because no one was seriously injured in the attack. To military leaders, it's just another example of what soldiers are now facing on a day-to-day basis. And no one, not even Paul Bremer, the top U.S. civilian leader here, knows whether the resistance can be easily wiped out.
I think we pretty much know in general what we're up against here. We're facing a combination of Ba'athists from the former regime, ex-Fedayeen Saddam, members of the intelligence services, who are, as far as we can tell at this point, operating without central control on a loose basis, normally on rather small-scale, squad-level attacks.
This has become the standard explanation offered by U.S. officials in Iraq, that these are politicized factions with ties to the former regime. But with an absence of strong intelligence leads, American military leaders privately concede they're fighting a phantom enemy. Iraqi political scientist Wamid Nadmi points to a date in May when Paul Bremer dissolved the Iraqi army and put nearly 500,000 armed Iraqi men out of work.
When Mr. Premier dissolved a whole army in which no less than 400,000 are without pension, and they have the capacity and the practice of war, of violence, of ambushes, I think the chap is asking for trouble.
Iraqi Major General Gia Abid Abdullah, a pilot in the recently dissolved Iraqi Air Force, says he's certain the unemployed officer corps has much to do with the attacks. The Iraqi military became demoralized in the face of the U.S. invasion, and so now, fueled by a sense of shame tied to the failure to put up a strong fight, former Iraqi soldiers are striking back. And the tactics used, says Major General Jihad Abdullah, directly reflect Iraqi military training.
All of our soldiers, all of our officers were trained to use RPGs and grenades, and all of them were particularly well trained to use RPG-7s and grenades before the war.
If there was a push to train Iraqi soldiers in these weapons shortly before the outbreak of war, it could support a widely held theory circulating among U.S. officials in Baghdad. According to senior U.S. officials here, Iraqi intelligence operatives plan to mount a campaign of sabotage and guerrilla warfare in the event the regime collapsed. But that theory's been largely discounted by Iraqi analysts. If an Iraqi official was to even suggest that the regime was vulnerable, he could face capital punishment. What American officials concede, however, is that many disparate groups may be involved. In some parts of Iraq, attacks may be carried out by Islamic fighters. In other areas, disgruntled ex-military personnel, and in other parts, foreign Arab fighters. Army Major Woodard Nunes is posted in the volatile town of Ramadi.
When the regime fell, a lot of things just basically stopped, and one of those was border control. And you've had a lot of infiltrators, you've had a lot of Syrians, Yemenis, Saudi Arabians, Egyptians, and we've seen some of that in our area, but to put a finger on it, I can't say for sure.
What's clear, though, is that these attacks are now starting to arouse passive support among Iraqis. Again, political analyst Wamid Nadmi.
I'm afraid to say that the resistance now is at least gaining respect. But in the future, it will be more on a national scale.
It's an historical pattern, says Nadmi. He points out that when the British made the transition from warfare to peaceful occupation in Iraq after the First World War, its army lost more than 2,000 soldiers just trying to keep the peace. Guy Raz, NPR News, Baghdad.